Amos, chapter 5, verse 4, says this, "For thus says the Lord to the house of Israel," to the house of Israel. If you're here today and you didn't know this, I want you to know, if you've said that Jesus is Lord of your life, if you've given your life to him, it says in Romans that you are now grafted in to his family tree. That's Israel. So when we see a word spoken to Israel, that's for you. It's for you today. This is him. He's speaking right to you today. Seek me and live. Seek me and live. But do not seek Bethel, nor enter Gilgal, nor pass over to Beersheba. For Gilgal shall surely go into captivity, and Bethel shall come to nothing. Seek the Lord and live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph and devour it. Seek the Lord and live. If you go on there in Amos 5, verse 14, seek good and not evil, that you may live. So the Lord God of hosts will be with you as you have spoken. Hate evil, love good. Establish justice in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. This is a word to Israel. It's a word to the church today. Seek him and live. Hate evil, love good. Hate evil, love good. Verse 18, woe to you who desire the day of the Lord, for what good is the day of the Lord to you? It will be darkness and not light. It will be as though a man fled from a lion and a bear met him. You ran from a lion, you ran right into a bear. You thought you could escape? You cannot escape the day of the Lord. There are some in our culture today that say, oh yeah, bring the Lord, but Lord, come back. We want you back. But when he comes back, it will not be as good as they thought, because they actually loved evil and they hated what is good. Learn what is good. Learn to hate what is evil. Open up the word of God and he will speak to you. He'll teach you what is good and he'll teach you what is evil. He'll teach you to discern. I feel the Holy Spirit coming on in this moment right now. My goodness, this church, we're in a flow. These past 3 weeks, I can't describe it. I can't put it into words, but the Holy Spirit's been moving and doing a work. He's going to speak to you today. He's going to teach you what is evil. He's going to teach you what is good. He's going to teach you to hate it. He won't teach you to hate people. People are made in the image of the Lord, but he'll teach you to hate what they worship. Because there are people in this world that worship the creature and not the creator. They worship themselves more than they worship the Lord. They'll say the right things, but their actions will tell you something else. Today you have a chance for your actions to line up with what you say. Some of you today, you're here today, you've been saying you love the Lord. You've been saying, I love the Lord. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. But some of you today, you're here in this room, and our friend Rose got up here, and the second she talked about her mission, her call, and the church's call to end abortion, something in you got tight and something in you got uncomfortable. I want to tell you something. That's not who you are, because you're a child of God. And a child of God loves what is righteous and hates what is evil. There's a demon inside of you. There's a devil inside of you that's been planted from this world. And right now, I just want to pray for deliverance over you. Would you just bow your heads? And if that's you right now, and you're kind of mad, you're kind of angry that we're even talking about this, just take a second. Give the Lord a chance to do a work in your heart right here, right now. I feel him coming on so strong. I feel him in my left hand. He wants to deliver you right now. And so if you would, even if you don't like it and you're kind of mad about it, would you just humor his word for a second and put your hands out like you're ready to receive something in your lap. Just hold them out in front of you. Just put them, like, put palms up to heaven and just see what he's got for you in this moment. Lord Jesus, we know that we can come to the Father through you. Jesus, I just pray right now in your name for deliverance. For deliverance from any demon, any devil, any unclean spirit that we've given permission and we've allowed to be active in our lives. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would change our hearts in this moment, that you would set people free in your name, Jesus. Devils, come out. Leave. Go. Lord Jesus, we know that you created us, that you're the creator, that you formed us in our mother's wombs, and that you are forming babies in the womb right now. You're forming babies in the womb in this room, and that you love them. You knew them before they were even a thought. And Lord Jesus, I pray that we would value and honor life the way you value and honor life. Lord Jesus, when Mary came into the presence of Elizabeth, it says that John jumped in his mother's womb. There's life in the womb. The Spirit is moving in the womb. There's barren wombs becoming active today. We value and honor life in this place because you're the creator and sustainer of all life. So Lord Jesus, I pray right now that we would come to a place of repentance where we have valued death, where we've honored death because somebody taught us that, where they taught us, oh, it's women's health care. No, we rebuke that lie in the name of Jesus right now. And we say and we declare that life begins in the womb. It begins at conception. It begins in your mind, Lord. It begins in your hands. Lord Jesus, we honor you right now. Lord Jesus, we honor you in this place. You are worthy. Holy Spirit, we repent. If that's you right now, just say a little prayer. Just say, Lord, I repent. Just say it out loud. There is power in the tongue. The power of life and death is in the tongue. He is coming on so strong. If your hands are going numb right now like mine, that's the Holy Spirit. He's telling you something. He's speaking something to you. Fall down. Fall down right now. Fall down on your face and repent. Jesus, we come to you right now. Lord Jesus, we didn't know what it meant. We didn't know what we had come into agreement with, but we come into agreement with your word, Lord. We come into agreement with your word. Holy Spirit, we value life because you are the creator. You're the sustainer. Lord Jesus, every lie that we've come into agreement with from the devil, we break it in your name, Jesus. It is broken right now. It's broken at the cross. There's forgiveness. There's a cleansing. We know that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There are people being cleansed right now of every unclean thought, every demonic stronghold. Lord Jesus, thank you for cleansing us. Thank you for setting us free. Jesus, we love you. People perish for lack of knowledge. There's no more lack of knowledge. In this house, there will never be lack of knowledge. We will seek you. We'll seek your word. And Lord, we desire to know you more. We desire to know your will. We desire to live out what is good and to hate what is evil. Lord Jesus, change our hearts to match your heart today. Jesus, in your name, we pray and we honor you, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, just give Jesus a hand. Just give Jesus a hand right there. Just praise him, praise him, praise him. He's just still speaking to some of you. Let him speak. Let him melt your heart. Seek the Lord and live. There were words the prophet Amos spoke that were hard and difficult for the people to hear. There's some of you in here that the words I'm speaking are hard and difficult for you to hear. There was a priest named Amaziah. It says this in Amos chapter 7. It says Amos chapter 7 verse 10, Amaziah the priest of Bethel sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. The land is not able to bear all his words. That's a lie from the devil. The words of the prophets are going forth. You're in a revival and a renewal of the church like we've never seen before. And the words of the prophets are going forth right now. And it's not hurting the land. It's not hurting the people. It's actually going to bring life. As the people listen to the word of the Lord and they repent and turn back to him, as they turn back to the truth, it's going to bring life. But there are some, there's priests. There are priests in our land right now that will tell you, there's pastors, there's preachers, there's priests that will tell you, oh, no, no, no. They'll tell you nice things. They'll tell you comfortable things. They'll tell you what you want to hear. It says in Isaiah, tell us nice things. That's what they would say to the prophets. That's what they would say to the priests. Tell us nice things. Tell us what our itching ears want to hear. No, no, no. The prophets are speaking what the Lord is saying. We're in a renewal and the prophets are speaking again. The prophets are being raised up in his house again. And the truth is going out and his word is going out and it never returns void. And the land, it can handle it. In fact, the land will flourish as the people repent and turn back to him. Thank you, Jesus. Says this in Jeremiah 7, verse 28. So you shall say to them, this is a nation that does not obey the voice of the Lord their God, nor receive correction. This is the Lord telling Jeremiah. You shall say to them, this is a nation that does not obey the voice of the Lord their God, nor receive correction. Ask yourself today, are you here today in this room? Do you obey the voice of the Lord? Can you receive correction? Truth has perished and has been cut off from their mouth. This is what revival was born out of. Revival was born out of the year 2020. This church specifically, there's a revival going on in our nation, but this church specifically, the Lord put it on my heart early on in 2020 when I began to see the lies and the deceit and what we were going through as a nation, that truth had perished. And I felt the Lord saying, there's going to be a revival and there's going to be a return to the truth. There's going to be a return to my word. Because what everyone thought they could count on, what everyone thought was solid ground to stand on in this world, all of a sudden we began to see it was a lie and it was shaky ground. What did we see? We saw a new religion spring up. I grew up in a time and age when you thought, man, you could trust science, like you could believe science, but all of a sudden they had to tell you, you got to trust and believe science. If they have to tell you, all of a sudden it's not science, it's a cult. It became a cult in 2020. Don't question science. Don't doubt the science. No. The science, you just got to trust it. And just trust whatever we tell you because we're the experts. They claim they were experts, but really what were they? They were false prophets. We see false prophets all the time in the Old Testament. The devil raised up false prophets and told people, trust us. Don't trust the pastors. Don't trust the preachers. Don't trust the church. Don't trust the Lord. Trust us. It became a new religion in 2020. Truth perished. Even seeking the truth was mocked. It was ridiculed. You were canceled for seeking the truth. The Lord says, seek me. Seek him. He's the truth. If you're on a journey right now, if you're in this room right now, and you're just trying to figure out what's true, you're in the right place. You don't have to have every answer, but you're in the place where you can seek him. And I promise you, as you continue to seek him, you're going to find he's the solid rock that you can stand on. Because everything else in this world, it is sand, and it will not hold when the rains come. Your foundation will sink, and it will crumble. You can try to build on the sand, but it won't last. truth has perished and has been cut off from their mouth. Cut off your hair and cast it away and take up a lamentation on the desolate heights. For the Lord has rejected and forsaken the generation of his wrath. For the children of Judah have done evil in my sight, says the Lord. They have set their abominations in the house, which is called by my name, to pollute it. They would bring their abominations. They would bring their false idols. They would bring their sacrifices into the very house of the Lord. They would worship Baal. They would worship Asherah. When you start to go through the Old Testament, you see all these old gods. You see Baal. You see Asherah. You see Molech. You see Chemosh. And today we think, oh, that doesn't exist anymore. We don't worship these false idols. It still happens today. You just got to learn to look for the symbolism. Baal was symbolized by a bull, big bull with horns. When you start to look for that symbol, you begin to see it. You see it in parades. You see it on TV. You see it in movies. You begin to realize, oh, we still worship Baal today. There's still this idol worship that goes on. The children of Judah have done evil in my sight. They have set their abominations in the house, which is called by my name, to pollute it. It pollutes God's house. God's house is supposed to be a pure and holy place of worship. Your body is called to be a pure and holy place because guess what it says in 1 Corinthians? Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives inside of you. If you've invited Jesus into your life, if you've made him Lord and Savior, guess what? You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. So now what does he want to do? He wants to remove all corruption, all pollution. That's what he's doing today. And so if there's a conviction inside of you that you realize, oh, I've polluted his house because I do call him Lord, I do claim him as my Lord, what do? To clean the house, we repent. We confess and repent. 1 John 1:9, confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. All pollution, all filth. It starts with confession. Confession's a beautiful thing. It's not a dirty thing. If you're worried about, man, at the end of service, we have our ministry team up here. You can come up here. You can pray. You can confess something. You can ask for prayer. You can, whatever you need. If you need to just talk to somebody and just give your life to the Lord, maybe that's it today. You can do that. But there's something in our minds that say, oh, no, I can't confess because if I confess, that means I've failed. Guess what? Every one of us in here has failed. Every one of us in here has fallen. But we all started somewhere, and it started with confession. We confess that we're a sinner, that we need his grace. That's what his grace is. His grace, it cleanses us. But it starts with confession. Look at Romans 10. Romans 10, verse 9. That if you confess with your mouth, the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So if you're here today and you've never actually said it out loud, you've never made that confession of faith, but you've just kind of, maybe you've sat in on a service and just in your head you said, you just kind of thought it. No. Confess with your mouth. Everything begins with the mouth. What you confess, it will change your life. It says in James, the tongue, it's like the rudder of a ship, and it will direct your life. So if you're speaking evil over your life, if that's what you're speaking all the time, guess what? You're going to live an evil life. If you're speaking depression, if you're speaking brokenness, if you're speaking failure over your life, that's the direction of your life. But if you're speaking faith, even though you may not always feel it, even though it might be hard and difficult, but if you just begin by faith to just say, Lord, I believe you. Lord, I trust you. Even though you don't feel it, as you confess it, it's going to change the direction of your life. It will rewire you. Your soul will be changed and transformed as you begin to confess with your mouth. All of a sudden, you're going to begin to live a different life. You're going to begin to love what is righteous and hate what is evil because you're going to begin to see the truth. And you're going to be able to discern from the lies of the devil. Begin to confess scripture over your life. Confess it. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. If you're still struggling with shame, if that's something, if that's just a constant thing in your life, begin to confess who Jesus is. Begin to confess his love for you. Begin to confess your identity in Christ, and shame is going to break. The power of shame is going to break over somebody's life right here, right now. It's breaking in the name of Jesus. That's what he does. He breaks the power of shame off your life. And so if you're living in shame today, I want to tell you, he wants to set you free. You will never be the same again if you will confess with your mouth. That's where it begins. Don't let shame be the rudder of your life. Don't let that be the direction of your life anymore. He wants to set you free. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich. He's rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It starts with the mouth. Everything begins with the mouth. As you confess with your mouth, it will change and transform your heart. What you feel like is dirty and shame-filled and wrong and is broken and can't be fixed within you, the devil's lying to you right now and saying, oh, it won't change anything. No, the power of life and death is in the tongue. As you begin to speak it and declare it, it's going to happen. Things are going to change today. Here, just get with me here. You ready? Let's get a little active. Some of you, you've made this confession, but there's somebody in here that needs to confess it out loud. They need to say the words, but if we don't all say it together, they're not going to say it today. And they're going to walk out and they're going to miss this opportunity. So church, I just want you to repeat after me. Just really simple. I'm just going to say, Jesus is Lord. And then there we go. You got it already. You're ready. You're ready. Here we go. Ready? Jesus is Lord. Say it again. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. He's here. He's here. Keep confessing it. Keep saying it. Keep speaking it over your life. It's going to change your life. It will never be the same again. Verse 31. And they have built the high places of Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I did not command, nor did it come into my heart. This is the Lord right here. He's telling Jeremiah. He's saying this. The people, his people, have built high places, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to do what? To burn their sons and their daughters in the fire. Some of these, I've described this before. I think we've even shown some pictures before. Some of these different gods. One of them is Molech. And Molech, he's a silver or bronze image that they've created, and it's large. And he's got, like, you know, bull horns and bull face, all that. But he's got his arms sticking out with big hands like this. And underneath the hands, they would put a fire, and they would throw wood in the fire. And what happens when you put metal over fire? It heats up. And so when they would come and they would bring their sons and their daughters, this is God's chosen people, they would bring their sons and their daughters, and they would place the children on the hands of Molech. And the children would burn alive. And they had their own worship music that they would play. And they would beat the drum. And they would beat the drum louder and louder to drown out the screams of the children. And we hear that. And we think, I can't believe those people would do that. We would never do that. No, what we've done is we've cleaned it up and we've put a nice name on it. We've cleaned it up. And we've turned it into women's health care. Doesn't that sound like a good thing to fight for? Oh, we should fight for that. But what are they really doing? They've just put a new label on Baal and Molech worship. Because what are we doing? We're sacrificing children so we can worship the creature and not the creator. Because in our culture, what do we worship? We worship sex. Go out and have as much sex as you want. And then if you get pregnant, well, that baby is an inconvenience. That's what we're talking about here, okay? That's what we're talking about. It's an inconvenience. And so what are you doing? When you go through abortion, you are sacrificing that child, okay? You are sacrificing that child because you worshiped your body and another's body more than you worship the Creator and what He says. And don't let them try to twist it and guilt and shame you and say abortion. No. When we're talking about abortion, like I'm saying, it is like the deliberate. It's not like when we're talking about like trying to save somebody's life on the operating table. That's not what abortion is. When they're trying to save a baby or they're trying to save a mother and they're trying to figure out what the best thing is, what can we do to best save both? That's not abortion. But the people, the leaders in our country that tell you, no, that's what abortion is. No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about the sacrifice of children so we can go on and worship the female and the male body through the worship of sex in our culture with no responsibility, because we know that we can just sacrifice that child because that child would be an inconvenience to us. It would cost us money. It would change our lives. It would take away our freedom. So what do? We sacrifice the child so we can have our money, so we can have our freedom. That's what these people were doing. They were making sacrifices so they could worship the creature and not the Creator, so they could just be blessed financially and be blessed in their freedom from these false gods. It's no different today what we've been doing. So don't let the leaders of our country twist it. We don't make compromises. We don't make compromises with Baal, with Molech, with Asherah, with any of them. Understand there's a distinction and a difference, and there are political leaders in our country that have told the church, you need to stay out of it, and this is what it is, and this is what it's actually a good thing, and it's a positive thing. No. They're false prophets. That's what they've done. They put what do politicians do? They put a good spin on it, and they make it sound good, and they clean it up. No, it's a lie from the devil. We're placing children on the hands of Molech and watching them burn. It's no different than it was all the way back then, in the time of Jeremiah, the time of Isaiah, in the time of the kings. It hasn't changed. Therefore, verse 32, therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when it will no more be called Tophet or the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. For they will bury in Tophet until there is no room. The corpses of this people will be food for the birds of the heaven and for the beasts of the earth, and no one will frighten them away. Then I will cause to cease from the cities of Judah and from the streets of Jerusalem the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, for the land shall be desolate. I just feel like we need to just stop and pray for a second. Lord, I pray for anyone in here. Maybe they've been through an abortion. Maybe they know somebody that has. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would just comfort their hearts right now. I pray for your peace to overwhelm them. I pray for just your forgiveness to just overcome them as they just confess and turn back to you and say, Lord, I value and honor life. I value and honor you, Lord. I value and honor your word. Holy Spirit, I just pray that you would just fall on them right now, that it would just be like rain, that it would just be just a comfort to them right now. Lord Jesus, thank you for the babies in this room right now. Lord Jesus, I pray that where there's been loss of life in the womb, that there would be a restoration. That what the devil has tried to steal in our culture, there's going to be a double blessing coming back. Lord Jesus, I just pray for families that have been asking and seeking for a child, that you've been preparing their hearts and their minds to be able to step into this next season to steward a little baby that you're going to give them. Lord Jesus, where there has been barrenness, Lord Jesus, I just pray in your name. I pray for fruitfulness, fruitfulness in the womb. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Jesus, in your name we pray. Amen. And there's fruitfulness coming. In 2 Chronicles, there's this king, Jehoshaphat. 2 Chronicles 17, verse 1. It says, Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in his place and strengthened himself against Israel. At this time, Judah and Israel had been separated. He placed troops in all the fortified cities of Judah, and he set garrisons in the land of Judah in the cities of Ephraim, which Asa his father had taken. Now the Lord was with Jehoshaphat, because he walked in the former ways of his father David. He did not seek the Baals. There were kings before him that sought the Baals, but instead he sought the God of his father, Yahweh. And he walked in his commandments and not according to the acts of Israel. He didn't just do what everyone else was doing. Here at Revival, we're not just going to do what every other church is doing. We're not just going to stay silent because every church has stayed silent. We're not just going to go about the same way that every other church has gone about. We're going to follow his word and we're going to walk in his ways. Therefore, the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah gave presents to Jehoshaphat, and he had riches and honor in abundance. And his heart took delight in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he removed the high places and wooden images from Judah. He removed the worship of idols. That's what he did. Also in the third year of his reign. And what happens when you return to the Lord? When you go back to doing things the Lord's way? It says there's a blessing. He was blessed with riches and honor in abundance. If it feels like there is lack right now in your life, look to the Lord, look to his word, and just ask him, Lord, reveal to me, where do I need to turn back to you? In what ways have I turned to the ways of the world, and in what ways are you calling me today to turn back to you, Lord? In the third year of his reign, he sent his leaders, Ben-Hail, Obadiah, Zechariah, Nathaniel, Micaiah, to teach in the cities of Judah. He sent these men out to teach in the cities of Judah. And with them, he sent Levites, Shemaiah, Nethaniah, Zebediah, Asahel, Shemamoth, Jehonath. I'm getting tired. My tongue's getting tired. Ajaniah, Tobijah. These names are tough. Tobijaniah, the Levites. Amen. I need a breath. And with them, Elshema and Jehoram, the priests. He sent the Levites. He sent the priests. So they taught in Judah and had the book of the law of the Lord with them. And they went throughout all the cities of Judah and they taught the people. Revival, there's a calling in this house. God is raising up teachers in this house. You're going to be sent out. You're going to go. You're going to teach in the dark places. You're going to teach in the valley. You're going to speak and preach and teach the truth of his word so the people will return. The people will repent, because that's where revival begins. It begins with repentance. It begins with a returning to His way, to His law, to His word. Learn His word in this season. Some of you got a calling on your life. There's teachers and preachers, there's priests, there's prophets, there's evangelists. There are people sitting in this room. You've been gifted. You've been called. He's going to send you. Learn the word in this season. Because when the season comes for you to be sent, I want you to be ready. I want to send you with confidence, knowing the Lord's prepared you and you're ready. There's no doubt. Nate Baker, I know he's put a call on your life. We're going to send you out someday. We're going to send you out. Brandon Whiff, there's a call on your life to teach and preach the word. We're going to send you out to places. You're going to go places. Be ready. Be ready, Brennan. When that day comes, I know you'll be ready. There's men and women in this house. You're being called and you're being raised up in this season. Be ready for when you get sent. You're gonna go and preach and teach in the dark places. You're gonna go to the darkest places. You're gonna go to places where witchcraft is practiced. Some of you are like, witchcraft? Yes, it's still practiced. They have conferences. They have meetings. Rose was sharing with us, there's a conference coming up this summer. I think it's in Council Bluffs. Devil's trying to take my throat. Rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Get out. There's a conference for witches coming up this summer. You're like, witches, witchcraft, that doesn't happen. It still happens. They're still practicing witches. They're still practicing witches that go to church. They're still practicing witches that are elders' wives. There's warlocks in the church. You're like, no way, this is Harry Potter. I'm telling you, it still happens today. They're hiding in plain sight. This is how they operate now. It's a spiritual world we're living in. So when we get into some stuff and you're like, oh, don't get political, Pastor. It's not political, it's spiritual. Because where do they get their power? They get their power from the high places where they sacrifice their children to Baal and Molech. We're ending that. We're tearing down the high places in the name of Jesus. Without the blood, there is no power. Without the blood, there is no power. The only blood that gives power is Jesus. That's it. That's it. This world is going to be different. And I'm telling you, as I sat there in that classroom yesterday and Rose began to break down the history of Nebraska, the Baal worship, the Asherah worship, it began back in the 1700s and 1800s and it started here in Nebraska. Sometimes we're like, oh, no, it's the coast. It's the West Coast. It's the East Coast. No. There were men and women practicing Baal, Molech, and Asherah worship, and they started it here in Exarban. You're living at the heart of it all. You didn't even know it. You didn't even realize it. I told our core team that was here early today, people call this a flyover state. People say nothing happens here. I'm telling you, witchcraft and demon worship in this country began at the heart of Nebraska, but it's going to end at the heart of Nebraska. Yeah. Woo. There's a great calling on your life. You might think, oh, no, nothing great can come out of Nebraska. We're small. We're meaningless. That's what they said about Jesus. That's what they said. Nothing great can come from Galilee. No way. Nobody can come out of that place. They overlooked Jesus because they overlooked where he came from. They won't overlook Nebraska. They'll look back in 50, 70, 100 years, and they'll say a revival began in this land, and it started at the heart of our country. He's on the move. Oof. Jeez. It's 4 weeks in a row. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, he'll manifest in different ways. For me, these last 4 weeks, he keeps manifesting with numbness on my left hand. If you're feeling that, if you're experiencing something today, I just want to encourage you, that's a touch from the Holy Spirit. If there's something going on, if there's a fire in your chest, if there's some kind of numbness in your body right now, some of you are like, you got this numbness in your left arm. It's not a heart attack. Don't go to the hospital after this. This is the Holy Spirit, and he just wants to give you a personal touch. Last week, a young man came up to me after service. Sometimes what happens in our services is the Lord will give me a word of knowledge or he'll give somebody else a word of knowledge up here. I got a word of knowledge last week that there was somebody with back pain and there was something going on in their left side, their left back, their left arm. And I started just praying and prophesying about that. And I know some people were like, what is going on right now? And this young man came up to me after service he was in tears. And he said, that was for me. I had this back pain in my arm. Like, I felt everything you were saying. So sometimes in a room of right now, I don't know how many people are in here. This is probably the biggest Sunday. I don't know. We're growing right now exponentially. I can't keep track. But in a room this size, he wants to meet each and every one of you individually. And there's somebody, you're in here for the very first time, and he's meeting you right now. I believe that. I believe that's what I was feeling right there. He just met somebody in here, and he met you for the first time, and it's the first time you're experiencing his power and his presence, and he just wants you to know he loves you. He loves you so much. He loves you. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for meeting us here. Thank you, Jesus. Jehoshaphat. He had good moments and bad. He was a good king that wanted to do the right thing, but at one point he partnered with an evil king, King Ahab. And they went to war together. And it says in 2 Chronicles 19, verse 1, and worship team, you can come up as we get ready to close here. It says in 2 Chronicles 19, verse 1, Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned safely to his house in Jerusalem. During that battle, Ahab died. He was an evil king. He worshiped the idols. He and his wife Jezebel, they sacrificed, they killed babies, they killed the prophets. And Jehoshaphat, he tolerated King Ahab and was in relationship with him for a time, for a season. And it says this in verse 2, Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, the prophet, he went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord? Should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord? Do not partner with evil. Do not partner with the darkness. Do not step into a covenant with those who are walking in the darkness. There should be a barrier. There should be separation. Dark and light do not mix. Now, you can love people where they're at. You can encourage them. But you need to speak the truth. Don't bury the truth that God has placed inside your heart. In this season, there are people that are walking in darkness. And I'm telling you, you can have a healthy boundary and there can be separation between dark and light. But when he gives you the opportunities, speak the truth and speak the light into their life. It doesn't matter how they receive it. It doesn't matter if they curse you, if they cuss at you, if they try to punch you for telling them the truth about who Jesus is and what his word says. It doesn't matter how they respond. It matters that you're obedient to the Lord and that you honor what he's put inside of you. He will honor that obedience. He will lift you up. It doesn't matter how they respond. It doesn't matter if they go write a Facebook post about you and say, this person's the worst. They're one of those hateful, bigot Christians. No, 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 no. You're one of those believers that walks in the light and the truth, and you honor God's word at what he says. People will call you names. People will slander you. People will try to tear you down. It doesn't matter. You honor Jesus. You honor his word. And in this next season, when you honor him, he will lift you up. He'll raise you up. There'll be a blessing. There'll be abundance on your life. There'll be provision on your life. There won't be lack anymore. But those who are walking in the darkness, there's going to be a new season that comes upon them. They will walk in lack. They will walk in hunger. Because the Lord's going to take his hand off of them in this land. And when he does, they'll have a choice to make. I can keep going down this path where there is lack and there is darkness and I am constantly in need, or I can repent and turn to the Lord because I see provision and abundance in his house. In this house, there's going to be a season of provision and abundance. I believe that. That's coming for people in businesses. Rose brought this up yesterday as we were sitting in this meeting. There are businessmen and women. There's entrepreneurs in this room. There's those of you that God has given you an idea, and it's come from the Lord. and he's going to raise you up, and he's going to provide. He's going to give you vision and direction. He's going to give you blessing in this next season. You're going to get raises. You're going to get bonuses that don't make sense. Your coworkers are going to look at you, and they're going to say, it doesn't make sense. It's the Lord. He's the difference. When they ask you, why is your life different? Why are you on a different path than me? What is going on? You're going to say, it's the Lord. He's blessing me. He's my provider. He's my strength because I seek him every day. That's a prophecy for somebody. You can receive that if you want it. When you receive a prophecy, you choose. You can partner with it or you can ignore it. If you want that today, just put your hand out and say, I want it, Lord. I want it. Just say you want it. There's going to be new provision coming into his house for his people. Man. There's men and women in here that are being called to teach and preach the word of the Lord. There's church planters in here. Some of you, you're young. You're like, oh, I'm too young for that. It's coming. Some of you are like, I can't do that. I'm not qualified. Don't worry about the qualifications. He used fishermen. He used tax collectors. It doesn't matter. Who told you that you couldn't do it? The devil. But who called you to it? The Lord. Don't listen to what the devil said. If he's called you to it, he's going to walk you through it. I'm telling you, that's what's going to happen in your life. You're going to step into something that you never thought was possible. Jehu, he said, should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord? Therefore, the wrath of the Lord is upon you. Nevertheless, good things are found in you. You may have made a partnership. You may have come into agreement with somebody walking in the dark. But I'm telling some of you today, the Lord sees something good in you. And he's telling you, break it off right now. If you're not married, if you're in a relationship with a non-believer, somebody that you know, they hate the Lord, they want nothing to do with him, I'm telling you today, he wants you to break that off. And you might think, no, I can't imagine my life. I don't know how I could go on. We depend on each other. I need that person. No, you don't. You need the Lord today. Break it off in the name of Jesus. When they go into the land of darkness and lack, let them come back to you if they repent. Let them come back to you if they repent and seek the Lord with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. But for you right now, you don't need to be held back for this next season and what he's calling you into. Break it off right now. You made a covenant. You made some kind of promise. But I'm telling you, unless you're married, you step out of that today. If you're married, you start to pray. You start to pray and you seek the Lord, and he's going to restore your husband or your wife. He's going to lead them to the Lord as you begin to live in obedience to his word. As she begins to see the light of the Lord and his grace upon your life and begins to see the favor on your life, that's going to lead your husband, lead your wife back to the Lord. Break it off. Ooh, we're going to worship hard today. Good things are found in you. And that you have removed the wooden images from the land and you've prepared your heart to seek God. I believe we've been preparing our heart to seek the Lord. Would you stand up today as we get ready to worship? Listen, we got a baptism today. We're going to celebrate with Drew. He's going to play a little bass, but he's going to jump off that bass in a few moments. He's going to get baptized. He is seeking the Lord. He's a man that seeks him. He's a man that walks in honor and obedience to the Lord. If you want to seek the Lord today, our ministry team, would you guys come up here? Would you be ready to receive people today? Be ready to receive people today. If you're done walking in the dark, if you're done with that partnership you made with somebody in the dark, and you want to confess and repent today and step out of the darkness into the light, you can do that. You can repent and be baptized just like it says in the Gospels, just like it says in the book of Acts. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus. This is a day to worship the Lord. Let's seek him with all our hearts. Prepare your heart. When we come into this moment of worship, you give him your hands. You give him your voice. You give him a shout. Because it's not for you. It's not about what that person next to you thinks. No, it's about honoring him. And we honor him and we obey him in our worship. Because he's worthy. Let's honor him today. Let's worship. Let's worship hard. Thank you.